Welcome in Braves Today podcast. I am Ben Taylor and this is Lindsey Crosby, and we promised you that we would break you down a preview of what to expect with the Nationals playing host to the Braves to get the season opener started this weekend. It's all brought to you by Prize Picks, prizepicks.com, promo code CHOP, C-H-O-P. It is for your risk-free money. Log on today and make your picks throughout the season. Lindsey, it's finally here. Opening day.
So excited. I have been waiting for this for 100-something days since Atlanta lost to Philadelphia in the NLD. It's been like 100-something days. We're finally here.
You know what we're going to get to do, though? We're going to get to go watch some baseball on opening day, and then we get to take Friday and do nothing.
It's full slate on Thursday, 5 games on Friday. What are we doing, Major League Baseball? What are we doing?
I will say this, and I'm going to throw this out there, and I mentioned to you this before the pod. Major League Baseball has got a problem with they want to grow the game, but they're doing their hardest to keep people from actually watching the game and keeping people on task. I think this could be the weekend that could be like the NCAA tournament where they start games on Thursday and have 20 games a day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and everybody sit around and watch baseball all day on various networks. Mm-hmm. And oh, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to get you all started at lunch on a Thursday with the Braves, of course, Braves and Nats. And then we're going to show you a couple of primetime games on Thursday night. We're not going to show you hardly anything on Friday. And then you guys go and do all your research and find out where to watch your team on Saturday and Sunday.
Growing the game.
Yeah, growing the game. Growing the game, you can't watch it. So let's get into it. As the Nats are expected to not do well this year, just as they were last year. And as a matter of fact, one writer's got him finishing well below 500 at ESPN, and he even threw a number out there, 64-98. Is this something that the Nationals are going to have to expect for the next few years? I know they've tried to bring in some young talent, but still, I mean, lack of pitching. They're excited about their bullpen. We'll get to that in a moment.
It's just something where even the young talent that they've brought in hasn't necessarily clicked or been available. You look at Carter Kieboom. He's out with Tommy John surgery. Young pitcher Cade Cavalli, who they expected to be the beginning of the next wave of their rotation depth, kind of like they had Strasburg and Corbin and Scherzer. Cavalli's out with Tommy John. And so it's really just – it's a mixture right now of a couple young players. You've got 23-year-old Luis Garcia, 23-year-old C.J. Abrams, to go along with, 34-year-old Corey Dickerson in left field. It's just it's an odd mixture of talent right now. And I think you're going to be happy if you don't lose 100 games in Washington this year. I hate it for them. It's a good baseball city when they're winning, but they're in that trough right now. And hopefully the talent they got in the Juan Soto deal is enough to bring them back from the edge here of just despair back into competitiveness.
Yeah, between Harper and Soto leaving, I mean, National fans, I got a buddy that lives in D.C. He is going to less games. And so I think they're feeling it. That was one of the articles that I brought up, and I told you they did some of their 5 keys to success. One of the 5 keys was they're excited about changing ownership, which is that's not supposed to be a 5 key to success going into the season.
Everybody's seen what the Mets are doing. And they've seen that Steve Cohen is just spending his own money to make the team better. Mm-hmm. And they think, well, all we have to do is find a new owner and he'll do the same thing. And I still think Steve Cohen's a little bit unique in the regard because the owner of the Oakland A's is also a billionaire. Mm-hmm. Fisher's also a billionaire and he's not spending money on that team. The owners of the Reds, they are, I don't quite think they're billionaires, but they're 100 millionaires and they're not spending money on the team. So I think that's part of the reason is Steve Cohen's messed up things for other teams, for the expectations for owners and players expected now to get paid easily by New York. So they've kind of messed it up for everybody.
One of the pluses that people are looking forward to if you're a Nats fan is Ruiz behind the plate. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Abrams at short and Meneses. He's coming off a 13 home run year as a rookie. A lot of people expecting him to have a big year. I would attribute it. I think I told you beforehand. I think they're kind of looking at him to be like an Austin Riley type player to have a breakout season in the second season, 30 home runs maybe. I don't know. Going 13-30 is quite a bit. I mean, I guess he's going to be more of an everyday guy this year, so maybe there's more opportunity. But Riley is good. Olsen is good. you know, these guys are good because they got people around him. And he sees he's going to have to – he's going to see the best of the best pitching, and he's going to have nobody protecting him on either side.
Yeah, batting in front of him is Dominic Smith. Batting behind him is Corey Dickerson. Leading off in front of those guys is Lane Thomas. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that it's exactly the same. They can afford to pitch around you when you're batting third for Washington. And yes, he does first base and outfield. It's kind of like Austin Riley did third base and did outfield and stuff for a while. But he's also, he turns 31 in a couple weeks. I know. He's at a little bit of a different point of his career. Actually, fun fact, 2011 draft pick by the Atlanta Braves.
Wow. And what he's probably sitting there, what could have been? You know what I mean?
All I had to do was stick around. I could be here as a veteran depth right now on this team.
Yeah, then which is what they're looking for. I mean, we got Cano. We could have had this guy. What are we doing? So Corbin going to get the nod on the mound, going to be followed by Gray and Gore. Let's talk about them a little bit as pitch from a pitching standpoint of expectations for the Braves to see.
Yeah, so Patrick Corbin, unfortunately, was one of the worst starters in baseball last year. Not necessarily his fault. It's just something where he's getting a little bit up there in age. The velocity isn't quite where it needs to be. He hasn't been completely healthy in the last couple of years. And so just really struggled. It's hard to both be bad enough to have the highest ERA in baseball, but also be good enough to start every fifth day for an entire season. That's a really fine line. I'm really impressed with what Patrick Corbin did. Mm-hmm. But Patrick Corbin just probably going to be, it's a bad matchup for him versus Fried. When you look at Saturday, Josiah Gray, a lot more promise, still a younger pitcher, trying to figure things out as he goes along, and then doubly so for Mackenzie Gore. He was one of the main centerpieces in the Juan Soto trade. So after your elder statesman and Corbin, you've got two younger guys, a righty and a lefty, that Atlanta definitely has the advantage because Gore's, I think, only seen them once. Gray's only seen them once or twice, and they've never seen Sean Murphy. They haven't seen a fully healthy Ronald Acuna. And so it's going to be difficult for them to, I think, keep the ball in the yard against Atlanta this weekend.
On the other side of things, Atlanta, you mentioned Fried going to get the nod the first night and then followed up by Strider and Schuster. Expectations for this Braves pitching staff against a team that barely averaged 3 runs a game last year?
Max Fried, Spencer Strider, both these guys, pros, have done well against Washington. I think Strider may break double-digit strikeouts on Saturday. That's just kind of the way it feels from what I understand. He's coming in pretty healthy. He's worked on some new pitches. It's not just the fastball slider now. He has a third one. Jared Schuster, I'm very excited to see his first start. He did a very good job at preventing hard contact in spring. This is also his first start in the bigs. You know how those nerves can sometimes get to guys a little bit. So I expect Fried and Strider to both do well. Jared Schuster, I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, he has all the tools to do well, but you never know what's gonna happen that first game in the big ballpark until you're actually there. But his family is gonna be in attendance. I hope it goes well. He has the tools to be successful, but that afternoon game may be a little bit higher scoring early if they can get to him and get him a little bit rattled.
The Braves offensively last year, almost 5 runs a game is what they averaged, 4.87 runs a game. Offensively, the expectations that we see out of Washington, because this is not your typical Braves team that had the slow Dansbys that were starting in the lineup. I mean, you've got Olsen who's doing well. We know that Riley's got the power to put the ball, you know, 550 feet away. Acuna seems to be healthy finally. Ozzie's healthy finally. You got a lot of veterans in the lineup as well. So offensively, does Atlanta come out and have the ability with, against the Nats pitching to really kind of cement their spot as far as being a team that can be dominant from the plate?
That's the thing, is so many of these Braves hitters were so incredibly hot during spring. Matt Olson led all of baseball in home runs in spring training. And so I think at some point in time in this series, a fully healthy Ronald Acuna is going to lead off one of these 3 games with a home run. And then it's something where even Marcell Ozuna batting 4th, he's looked incredibly good in spring compared to where he's been in the past, that he got the most at-bats of anybody on the team. So he's already gotten some of the rust off. I'm very excited to see the bottom of the lineup, that Sean Murphy, Eddie Rosario, Orlando Arcia. The question, how many runs the Braves score is going to ultimately come down to, can those guys get on base, turn the lineup over? I feel good about Sean Murphy. We talked about him a little bit earlier in the week. Eddie Rosario, big question mark from his stats last year, but since he came back from the WBC, he's been seeing the ball well. He's been hitting the ball well. I think he had a home run and an extra base hit the other day in spring. And then Orlando Arcia at ninth. If that's your ninth hole hitter, you feel pretty good about the depth of your lineup facing the Nationals, and something where I think they may get into that bullpen pretty early because just the depth of this Atlanta lineup, you really can't take a break as a starting pitcher. You have to be locked in and focused for every single batter because everybody can do damage.
One of the offseason bashes on baseball was, you talked about it, was the fact that these guys were playing outside of spring training and playing the World Baseball Classic and that kind of thing. But Rosario was one that I think actually benefited from this. He got a little hot during that stint, and then he was able to get back into spring. And as you said, since then he's had a home run, and it looked a lot better. Looked less rusty, let's just put it that way, from the plate. It looked like him in some competition instead of doing regular spring training activities may have helped him out a little bit. So we'll see where that goes. Let me ask you this before we get out of here, and that is, Braves fans tend to basically rely on the success that we've had all the way since the 90s, and they think that got to get started hot. You in particular, you were looking it up. What if Atlanta goes 1-2 this weekend? What if Atlanta gets swept this weekend just because they're not hitting on all cylinders and it's a road game? They're on the road. Opening day, Nationals crowd shows up and Fried's not able to find the plate. And then Strider working on his new pitch, can't get it across the plate, and you're putting runners on base. Next thing you know, they're kicking the ball around in the infield. What if that happens?
I think the Braves will be fine. It is a long season. Last year, the Braves didn't win a series until their sixth series of the year. They went 2-2 against Cincinnati to open the year. They lost the series to the Nationals, 2-1. The Padres series in San Diego, 2-2. The Dodgers series, they lost that 2-1, and then they lost a home series to Miami 2-1 before finally getting a series victory over the Cubs. So even if the Braves come out slow, I think you're okay, simply because this lineup is too good to be cold for a long time. This pitching staff is too full of very good pitchers to give up a lot of runs for a long time. And so even if you start off slow, we saw it last year. They finished with over 100 wins. They won the division. Every game matters, but they'll be in the win column sooner rather than later.
He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. It's the Braves Today podcast, bravestoday.com, Braves_today, if you find us on the Twitter. As always, brother, I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.